Hello, this is astrologer Shelly Antine, and I wanted to talk to you about Saturday, the 20th day of January, because a couple of big planetary moves take place. And the Sun is the first to enter the fixed air sign of Aquarius at 9:07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, the 20th. And let's just talk about the Aquarius characteristics here, because the next planet that shifts is also going into Aquarius, but this time it's Pluto, and that happens at 7:50 p.m. So Aquarius, let's see what that is, because when the Sun is in the sign, we find a lot of the energy of the sign in everyday experiences out there in the world. And in our way of looking at the world can also be Aquarian in the orientation. And I think that of all the zodiac signs, I have found that Aquarius is the most misunderstood in general because of having been called the sign of the water bearer. Now, if you are living in the material world and the other elements are apparent to you, you know, you can see water, you can see earth, you can see fire, but, I mean, not all the qualities of them, but you can see it, but the air is the invisible realm. And you know, living on the earth, that if you have a jug of water and a man is pouring it, at some point it's going to run out. It's not going to be pouring endlessly and ceaselessly. That won't happen. So, I think there was some agenda, maybe, I don't know, but it is an air sign. So a man pouring water is also confusing people. Many people, especially with the first, you know, letters being aqua, are really thinking that it's a water sign. I mean, why wouldn't you? And even its symbol seems to look like waves, only they are very pointy, and there are two of them, and they run directly and parallel to each other in this up and down sort of triangular feeling. It's very easy to be confused by it. However, what we are looking at in the air sign that is fixed, meaning it will never stop. If it has to stop, it's going to take a lot to make it do that. And it's the direction that it goes. Well, then you begin to understand if you really let yourself move into air. And this is one of the things in the novels that I've written about the priestess training of this. There are guides that bring in really profound teachings about the elements, things that you really didn't think of before coming through. And this is one of them. You know, you don't see air and you don't see the fixed quality of what is being carried on the air, which has a quality of light and also the prana or chi of the life energy. You don't see it. You know, it's like people say, I don't believe in things that I can't see. Well, you believe in electricity because you see a result of it. And so when you're alive and everything else is manifested around you, you can know that the energy that is unseen is moving through that too. It's moving through the trees, it's moving through the animals, it's moving even maybe at a little bit of an unseeable rate in the atoms and molecules that it may be also delivering to create the chair you're sitting on now, or whatever the device is that's, you know, up against your head, or you're listening on a speaker. This is what's pouring endlessly from the outer realm of the unseen. So what you've got is not a physical man pouring. You've got an invisible realm creature. Well, something like an angel, maybe. you know, or an air elemental quality, but not what we're tending to believe. Now, a lot of the things that I have done in my life are ruled by Aquarius and its planetary ruler Uranus, including this, astrology. It's a study of energy. Energy that is unseen. We are receiving the effects of it through the light coming through the air to our planet and ourselves and ourselves. But you can't look at it. So that's also true of the meridians in the body or the Reiki energy. You know, those are also unseen, but definitely having effects. Empirical evidence, yeah, the flow of the energy of the, you know, the meridians in Chinese medicine are absolutely workable in your body to show you whether you're doing okay or not, and not just with an organ. You know, they tend to be called organs, you know, like the lung meridian, but it doesn't just affect that organ. And it also connects to another unseen thing, which is your level of thought and emotions that are created from your thought. Thought directs energy. Energy follows thought. Wherever thought is held, energy is held. This is a metaphysical truth. What you focus on, you energize. And that's one of the great issues that we're having now. And this is where Pluto going into Aquarius might help us out, or might be, you know, the time when they're really worried about us finding out that we have that power, that we have that. And also the level of knowing in the air sign of Aquarius that is fixed is the disruptor quality of Uranus, which is going to shift and change something without really being very predictable. And one of the things that it can shift and change is your mind. You know, the aha moments, the light bulb goes off. That is the Uranian time. That is the Aquarian moment when you get the message delivered without, you know, having to hear somebody talk or read it in a book, or it just goes, wow. We can also look at that as the intuitional level, as opposed to the psychic level, which is the sensing, feeling. I felt this. I saw this. I knew this. The Uranian level is, for me, when I'm reading a chart and I'm hearing somebody and I suddenly look at a chart and I go, okay, I see. I see it. Boom. The message is in, and let me tell you what it is so that you can benefit from knowing, and then see how you are going to look at focusing your energy on this. So you're going to focus it in fear. You're going to focus it in positive thought. You know, are you going to just ask for the most benevolent outcome? Well, how are you going to deal with it? This is why it's the sign of will, Aquarius, also. And Aquarians can be very willful and very stubborn, because it's a fixed sign when they have a point of view. And one of the things, if you look at the progress of the mountain goat in Capricorn getting to the top of the mountain, the next sign is Aquarius. You've got like a large point of view now. You're taking in groups of things at a time. This is one of the reasons that Aquarius is the sign of group. But the other reason is that when you connect with others, you are forming that energy focus. That is the Aquarian energy that creates the group. If it's a friend or friends, plural, making a bigger group, you know, what does it say? And there's a biblical reference, wherever two or more of you are gathered, you know, it's a group, you know, there I am also. But also present is this one uniting energy. There I am also. You know, not just in you. This is, and in astrology, we have something we call synastry between people's charts, and we have another thing that we call composite chart. So the synastry is looking at your chart birth wheel and placing the other person's chart wheel outside of yours and seeing which house their planets are falling in, what kind of connections are they making? You know, do they have a connection to your moon, your sun? Do they have a point of reference in your particular house? Do they fall into your partnership house? Do they fall into the work area, etc.? So that is kind of looking at how the interaction between the two charts take place. But the composite chart is when you go to the middle ground, come to the midpoint, like the midwinter or the midsummer, coming to the middle ground of energy between the two charts, which creates a third chart entity, which is the relationship. Unseen energy that is the relationship. This is one of the problems with relationships, is that that unseen energy isn't known. It isn't understood what is helpful and beneficial in the midpoint energies of the relationship and what is the work that has to be done. You know, if you can get to that point where you can tell someone, here's where you're working, here's how you can, these are the things that are helpful, these are the things that aren't, then you become conscious and detached enough to see something. And that is also Aquarius, the objective, detached viewpoint. If you're standing on top of a mountain looking out and seeing it all, you are not emotionally engaged and seeing through a glass darkly. You are like open to see what's going on. I'm detached. I'm objective. I can now not come from an emotional reactive response. I can now come from a judgment based on what I'm seeing in an objective and detached way. It's a very important sign. It couldn't be more important than now in my lifetime, and maybe in yours, and also in a cultural sense. This is so lacking, objective detachment. I mean, we're bouncing back and forth between opinions, emotionally driven, and, you know, you can really not see clearly. Because sometimes there's a little, you know, puppet master behind those two points that you're trying to decide and divide around that is doing that. Because that is the actual issue, is that it's being done. It's being created for this effect. If you have an Aquarian objective detached view, you can see that. If you don't, you're just going to keep getting upset, angry. And when you do that, you're in a weakened state. I'm just saying. Okay, you know that because you know how it feels. You're in a weakened state. You know, anger is not power. Anger is weakening. It's taking your liver and messing with it. It's inflaming your body. So just remember, you know, you can have Aquarian experience if you know Aquarius exists and what it is, you can begin to look at life. In your natal chart, you have Aquarius somewhere. You know, the wheel is there, and it's going to be in a house. You may or may not have a planet in Aquarius, but you have the ruler of Aquarius, which the old ruler was Saturn. You know, maybe because you had to climb the mountain to see, you know, the distance and what might work best. But Uranus is really, to me, the ruler of Aquarius. I mean, Saturn comes into structure groups, you know, give the rules of the group, you know, when you go to join a page, and this is the rule, you're not allowed to act badly, basically, is what they're trying to say, but they have to spell it out for you because you don't know what it's like to act badly. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But anyway, you have that planet, Uranus. You have the planet Saturn, too. You can look and see, where are they? What sign are they in? And that is going to give you clues about how to access all of the qualities and where you access the qualities of Aquarius, where you have chosen to in terms of your life. And then, of course, we have the transiting planet, Uranus, which is now in Taurus. It is getting ready to go direct, but not this week. It's very soon. I think it's the 27th or 28th. It's going to be direct finally. So we get the Aquarian energy moving forward. And so I'm sure I've left some things out because, you know, you can go on, really, you can go on and on about this. But it is the understanding. Uranus and the freedom aspect of Uranus is when you are detached enough to be objective, you know, that's when your freedom comes. You know, it's not just like, I don't have to show up if I don't want to. That is also very Aquarius. You know, Aquarians don't want obligated energy. You know, they want to be there because they want to. And that's true in relationship and friendships also, not just in group energies. And they might be very eccentric and erratic and act, you know, in ways that are unpredictable. Like, wasn't so-and-so supposed to be here for this meeting? Yeah, I don't know what happened, you know. It's a very good chance that that's your Aquarius friend, perhaps. But I've known many Aquarians that do not manifest that. No, they don't. And that's the reason you have a whole chart that you have to look at all the pieces and from a detached and objective point of view. And, you know, even as astrologers, which is, you know, ruled by Uranus and Aquarius, we don't all have, you know, objective, detached points of view about anything, believe me. You know, we've got an idea about what a certain thing is and what a certain method is, which one's better than the other one, and, you know, this is going to happen more and more as Pluto goes in to this sign. Who's the power? Who's got the power over this method? I am the greatest. You know, I mean, really? You know, you've got a polarity point and it's in Leo. I've got to be the king. So we're going to have a very interesting ride. And Pluto will shift into Aquarius at 7:15 p.m. on Saturday. So you've got a, you know, not, you don't even have 12 hours, but you had a little bit of time just to think about what it feels like to have the sun in Aquarius. You might not even notice. But when Pluto starts shifting in, you also won't notice right away. That's Pluto for you. See, Pluto is the god of the underworld, you know. It's Scorpio's ruler. It likes to be in a secret way doing important things, transformations that you don't notice. Yeah. When you finally do notice them, they're long in active state, so it may be hard to reverse the change. Uranian change is like Zappo. You never saw it coming, and there it was. We have in Earth sign now, so this is what you see almost every day. There's some kind of a surprisingly wow event in geophysical land, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes, and how much snow could it possibly put on me? You know, those kinds of things are like way out of normal, you know, range of thought. So Uranian, there, it's at the wild card of the zodiac planets and signs is Uranus. See, so now we got this Lord of the Underworld in Aquarius. So they're really kind of working together. Uranus is the ruler of the sign Pluto's in. So all of these upheavals. Pluto is now going to come in as the great transformer, you know, and start doing some power moves. All right, well, power can be good. Power and transformation can be exactly what we need. Power going into the group, if the group has objective detachment and is functioning from a high level of love and goodwill, yes. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful idea. It's you know, you look around and you try to see how many of those you can name on your own of groups that are functioning on that level. But boy, it's something to envision. It's something to put in your, you know, can we see something better than this box? How does it get any better? It is something that if you are working with Pluto that way, maybe we can start seeing people become aware, so aware of energy and the connection. Yes, we're all unique individuals, and sometimes Aquarius goes out of its way because it has a need to stand out and be different, you know, and it doesn't even know that that's what's going on, but that can be what's going on. But sometimes we have this goal of evolution, and I think humans can certainly evolve further than they have. But how many people, I was having a discussion with a friend in England. She said, how many people are willing to look over the fence? How many willing to lift themselves up to peek over and see something different than they've grown up with and that they've always believed and that they always thought, you know, how many? That's what you're looking for. You're looking for those people who are ready to and have already begun to transform this. And so that's the highest level I can imagine coming from Pluto in Aquarius. Now, when Pluto went into Capricorn, we found a transformation in government. And one of the things we found, because it was 2008, was that we had a president that was neither white nor black, although we keep calling him black, he's half and half. You know, it's an interesting thing too, isn't it? I mean, why don't we accept that he's both? You know, we want people to accept the sexual identities that are both now. How do you identify him, her, or, you know, she, him? I mean, you know, it's something that's very Aquarian that has been coming in already without, you know, we had a little dip into Pluto. And also the centaur Chiriclo, you know, the one that holds the space for transformation and change. She's been in Aquarius for quite some time now. She still is. So this is what has been fueling some of this idea. But when Pluto was in Capricorn, Chiriclo was also in Capricorn, and so we had a group of people make a designation for a person's reality that wasn't exactly accurate, actually. But there was no objection from the person, so, you know, so it stood. But that was a tremendous transformation in the presidential Oval Office. And some people loved it, and some people hated it. Once again, we had those two points of view that could divide you. And they did. And they continue to. But was a change. And then what happened was, you know, Pluto's also great wealth. Okay, so we started seeing great wealth be the biggest focus in our government of the United States, but also corporation. We know now there's no getting away from the multitude of billionaires that have stockpiled, you know, the energy. I mean, money is, what is it? It isn't backed by gold. It's, you know, I mean, they're even starting to recognize on some FEC or something, one form of electronic currency. You know, a Bitcoin, I think, is finally getting it. By the time it got there, one of them's worth over $46,000 or something like that. So it's not like the average, you know, person with not a lot of money is going to be buying a Bitcoin. But the thing is that it's, again, it's like the level of power in this area. And it is holding without people being able to make any kind of suggestion into this, you know, superiority realm, you know, because we had a Saturn-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn, and that was about hierarchical thought. And that was a conjunction that hadn't happened since the middle of the 1500s when successful challenge to the Roman Church took place without those people being dead. You know, I mean, people might have been different, but they were like, you know, burned at stakes and things like that. And, you know, the changeover time period was not easy. I mean, it was easy for Henry VIII because nobody was going to, you know, bother him about him. But, you know, it was very difficult for Elizabeth and his children. I mean, you didn't know who was getting burned this week. Was it the Catholics or the Protestants, you know? So it wasn't like the Saturn-Pluto conjunction took place and everything just miraculously became different. And no, that isn't how it works. And that's why, you know, my personal belief is have been in the early stages, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, before the musical Hair came out, well before it. And in fact, when electricity became a thing, you know, that, you know, you could harness, and the planet Uranus was discovered. Early days. But certainly we're in the midst of electronic technology. Like, I mean, didn't it happen? You know, we had revolutions first. You know, but the point is, Pluto goes into Aquarius. We won't really know the effects it's having. You know, the Saturn conjunction, the shift, that's what brought out more Pluto, more power in the traditional and the upper class. And, the, you know, they grabbed on and held on tight, you know. I mean, you know, basically, many of the people who are listening to me go on and on about this have already understood that without plants and water and creatures and such, we can't live. But in the hierarchical pyramid of Plato, starts with B, and Aristotle, you know, the lowest form is the plant kingdom. You know, when we go up and up and up and up and we finally get to the peak, the pinnacle, and it's humans. Of course. I mean, some of you have seen that incredible film, you know, My Octopus Teacher or something. We have nothing compared to that octopus who only lives for a year. I mean, what that thing can do and what it was doing that this guy didn't even notice it was being healed by it is a phenomena that, you know, we think we're superior to everything. And then once we get up there, then we've got to divide the people themselves to figure out who's the most superior person. And then, of course, the sexes. We've got to have a superior sex, and we all know who became the superior sex and really wants to hold on to that. So all of this is being threatened by the need to shift that came in, you see. So that's why we're seeing the backlash. That's what we're living through, the backlash. And since we are living through the backlash, period, and Henry's daughter, Elizabeth, who was his third child on the throne after he passed and was, you know, breaching over the 1600s a little bit, they were trying to assassinate her all the time if she didn't have Cecil. And he was like, I think, started the first spy network because, you know, they wanted a Catholic back on the throne. People don't lose their traditional Capricornian values of what's right, you know, and who should be in power. So this is what's going to get a real electrical jolt now when Pluto goes into Aquarius. All right? But the ramifications, that's what we have to see. So, again, a lot of people will tell you a lot of things. We already have revolutions going on. So they'll say there were revolutions the last time it was in Pluto and Aquarius. And yeah, well, is, you know, they're calling for revolution in the United States. They're threatening the structure of our government, aren't they? I mean, they want to, you know, do away with certain things. And they're saying our democracy is on the line. Well, oh, did we have a perfect democracy? No, but we had it. You know, we've been having it. And we've had, you know, things that were for the people, you know, that helped people. Like, I just delivered clothing to someone who collects clothing for homeless people. I mean, I haven't had used it for so long. It's still okay. Somebody else can use it. You know, what happened to compassion for others? It seems to have taken a walk somewhere. So it's so wonderful to see people are still caring. I live in a very, this is Bob Jones land that I live in, and yet these people are on the street. They're on the street in the cold. And not everybody is making contributions to that. You know? Hello? Who is your Lord and Savior? And what was he talking about? So we are in the most incredible time, and the evolution could take place. Yes, it could. And the revolution of thought in Aquarius could gain power in a good way, but it can also do it in a negative way. And the underworld god is the underworld in our slang. It used to be lords of the underworld were people who were in certain organizations, let's say. You know, I think we became desensitized to them by movies and a very popular television series, and, you know, we kind of forgot that they were, you know, kind of a little bit the way they handled things by threatening and, you know, threat your family. We're going to make you an offer. You can't refuse, you know. those were underworld people. Indeed, they were. Also, something that comes up from under the ground is oil. So, all right, what's going to happen? Okay. So I'm going to tell you that with Pluto in Aquarius, one of the interesting things that happens, we're only going to be in it briefly. Well, this is actually not as brief as last time. We're going to, you know, start on the 20th, and it's going to stay very close. It's only going up to 2 degrees, all right? So this is for your benefit, the chart, in your particular chart. Or do you have something at 2 degrees or 0 or 1 degree or... you know, 3 or 4 degrees of Aquarius or another fixed sign, you know, then you're going to feel it. Like all the people who had to deal with Pluto and Capricorn, now you're going to get it. It's going to be big transformation, big power coming in. How will you handle it? Important to know so you can make objective decisions, right? So it will be only up to 2 degrees, and then it will retrograde on May 5th. And it will retrograde and still be in Aquarius, going back down to the 0 degree until the 11th of October, when it zips back into 29 Capricorn. It won't go lower. You know, that's, I think we're in that now. It's so slow moving, these things are slow moving, that when they retrograde, they're even slower, and then they have to get back up to speed and stuff. So it will be there. But it will be back in Capricorn on the first day of September. And it will go direct on October 11th at the 29th degree of Capricorn. So it will be the first day of September at 8:10 p.m. I don't think I said this right. I think I'm looking at numbers and I'm, you know, not saying it right. But it will go back into Aquarius on the 20th day of November, because it's gone direct in Capricorn. So it'll go back, but it won't. It'll go into 2025 with it being in Aquarius, and it will slowly move up a little more than 2 degrees, but it will not go back again after 11:20, when Pluto went direct in Capricorn on the 1st of September, will go further in and get into Aquarius at 11:20, never to go back to Capricorn again. So we'll see what happens. I mean, have they, you know, one of the things that worries me personally is all the chipping and the, you know, robots and the AI power in these things. More power in it, more transformation due to it. You know, they asked somebody was telling me, they asked how many jobs are going to be lost by this. And it's like a very large number of jobs. Well, do we have jobs that aren't AI jobs that people can do? You know, I mean, AI can do chart readings, I'm sure, but can they talk to you like I am? I don't think so. I mean, you know, with a person, a personality, I doubt it. But it's cost effective. So this is what I'm telling you. Also, I'm telling you that when Pluto is in Aquarius, it will not interact with the slow-moving outer planets, because they're not in signs that interact with the low degrees. When it goes in, there's 2 in Taurus, which would interact, but they are farther up already, so they can't make a connect. So you'll have the aspects to watch with the faster moving personal planets, you know. And I would tell you those, but I will tell you those again when we get to weekly forecasts and stuff. But one of the things that I found fascinating was that Mars is actually the first one that makes a conjunction to Pluto. We never really enjoy seeing that. That's anger and power together. Oh boy, you know, that was something with that going on with the last election. Mars conjunct from Aquarius, just as it goes into Aquarius, conjuncts Pluto. It goes in at 1:05 a.m. on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Interesting. And a few days later, Venus joins Pluto on February 16th. And there's a moon in Gemini that will bring that Venus energy back to look at again, because it will make first a trine to Venus and a trine to Pluto in short measure on the 17th. So you may find that there's a lot of pressure on you if you're in a relationship, and a lot of things are going on the 14th, and there may be a put up or shut up that comes when Venus joins Pluto on the 16th and makes a conjunction on the 17th with the moon bringing it through. It can also be a time where you meet the fated relationship. This is the one, baby. Oh, but if you're on Valentine's Day, it's like tricky, you know, a couple of days later, maybe you haven't had a Valentine on Valentine's Day, and boom, there they are. Surprisingly, because of the Aquarius aspect, it's a sudden, surprising, destined meetup. Just letting you know. But I will be letting you know these again when it gets closer and I'm in my weekly astrology forecasts. So what I want to tell you right now is that, you know, Pluto, is again, it was in from 2008, it was in until now in Capricorn. So the ephemeris that I'm looking at for the future sees an Aquarius Pluto shifting to Pisces in January of 2044. We're in 2024. That's 2044, 20 years. 20 years, and Pluto will go into Pisces, and it will retrograde just like this one did in the very early stage of Pisces. However, it won't, let's see if it retrogrades. It gets to 4 degrees in 2045. And I'm trying to see if it'll go back into Aquarius at all, but I don't think, I think it made up its mind and it's gone. Oh, Aaron, we're in Pisces. Okay, so the ephemeris, which is interesting, the printed ephemeris, only goes to 2050. The revised second edition, it's like, is somebody trying to tell us something? Anyway, Pluto in Aquarius, just be aware of it. Find out where it is in your chart. What is it doing? What is the meaning of Aquarius in your chart? And where is Uranus, the ruler? And I think you'll be well-equipped. And, of course, you know an astrologer. You're listening to one now that you can get a reading from. And you will know. And I think knowledge is power, as they say. And that's the last thing I'll say about Pluto in Aquarius. And I wish you all the best with it, as I always do. And I'll say goodbye for now.